Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A lot of folks have opinions on who, what, where when it comes to what the Browns should do at quarterback. We look for educated opinions, and we have one joining us right now. Steve Palazzolo, a senior writer for Pro Football Focus, joins us. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are we doing? Thanks for having me, guys.
Good, you're welcome. Thanks for being with us. I love the story you have out right now. It's a great analysis on the UCLA quarterback, Josh Rosen, and it's called Josh Rosen, the good, the bad, and the highly volatile. Did you write the headline, too?
I was trying to figure out the headline because I knew there was good. I knew there was bad in there when I wrote it. And my editor, I said, maybe lean toward the volatile stuff because I do think that is kind of the story with him. It might sound extreme, but there could be a bit of a roller coaster ride for better or for worse for whichever team drafts Rosen. So I think, we went with volatile. I think it catches the eye enough.
All right, looking at the last mock draft that you have Baker Mayfield going number one. But that hasn't changed, right? I still have the right mock draft. That's 2.0, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Well, why Baker Mayfield? And, you know, I see what the score is, what his grade is. How much of that is based on the grade and how much of that is based on what you think or maybe even what you know?
At PFF, you know, we're grading every player on every play and grading purely their production. And obviously, college production doesn't always directly translate to the NFL. And we've got 4 years of data and starting to figure out which parts of our college valuations from a pure grading standpoint do translate. But when you look at Baker, I think the production on the field is just at such a different level. He has three out of our top five all-time season grades so far. I think it's actually three out of six.
Wow.
All-time grades, our top two overall grades. And a lot of people will say, yeah, but the system at Oklahoma, which it actually does help him quite a bit. That system is very conducive to all the gaudy stats that he's put up. But we've also done some really in-depth analysis and said, look, you know, you hear scouts all the time say, this guy makes all the throws or makes NFL throws. We've actually been able to dissect what those are and which guys are best at making those NFL throws. And Baker Mayfield shows up in that at the top of that as well. So his production has just been off the charts. I think he's got plenty of arm. I think he's got plenty of accuracy and timing and all the things you need at the next level. He's not a perfect prospect by any means. I think, you know, he's that guy that if he's 3 inches taller, I don't think there's a doubt that he's the top overall pick in the draft. So I'm not going to let the height thing get in the way because I do think he's potentially a special player. So that's why Baker's our top guy right now. And he's also that guy that every time you seem to try to doubt him, he always seems to step up and come through. And he's done that his entire career, both at Texas Tech and at Oklahoma.
Should you be concerned about a guy who tried to run away from police?
Look, any of the off-field stuff, always a concern. I try to distance myself a little bit from the off-field unless it's so blatant and in your face that you have to acknowledge it. It's not a good thing by any means. I do think some of the other attitude stuff, those are things that seem to work both ways for Baker. Some people think he's a problem. Some people think, man, that our guy Sam Monson especially, he thinks, man, that attitude that he has, that plays well sometimes in the NFL. That prove it, you know, I'm going to prove you wrong type of attitude. So I lean more that way too when it comes to the attitude stuff. I can't really speak to the off-field minus the one incident. You know, Dak Prescott had an incident and, you know, JT Barrett had an incident at Ohio State. And by all accounts, he's, you know, the greatest kid and the greatest leader. So I try not to put too much stock into it unless it's a really bad reoccurring theme.
The story you wrote about Rosen is interesting. What do you like most about Rosen? What's your biggest concern?
Yeah, I like the way he works the intermediate level. As I broke down in the piece, he was our top graded intermediate thrower. So while Baker was leading almost every different situational category that you can break down, Rosen did top him at the intermediate level. So those are your, you know, your dig routes over the middle, your post routes, your comebacks, your back shoulder fades, a lot of the throws in that range that you're going to see on a week-to-week basis in the NFL. He has the velocity, the, you know, tight, throws a tight spiral. He's got the touch. He can make all those throws them extremely well, and he's fearless over the middle of the field. So that's one of those things that works, I think, both for and against him, and comes back to the volatility factor, the fact, you know, he doesn't see a tight window that he's not willing to try to hit. And a lot of times that leads to some big gains and some great throws, and other times it leads to some head-scratching decisions. And I'd say that'd be my biggest knock on him. He's always really high in what we call turnover-worthy plays, you know, those plays that either a misread of coverage or just a poor pass thrown into a linebacker or a safety or corner. Those passes that should be intercepted, even though they might not show up in the interception column. Rosen has a bunch of them. Same thing with fumbles, too, that plays that they're just poor ball security or poor pocket presence. So I think he's that guy that can make the special NFL throws, but he's going to make some boneheaded decisions along the way as well. And as long as you know what you're getting into, I think there's certainly an offense to build around that skill set.
Steve, let me ask you a couple questions about the quarterback. One, how far is the gap between all of the – like, you know, everyone's pretty much talking about five or six guys, probably pretty much five guys who could be first-round quarterbacks. Okay, so how far is the gap on those guys? And is it – does Baker Mayfield just jump off the charts at you? I know you talked a little bit about that. But so when I say that, I'm saying how far away is he from Sam Darnold, who you think is number two? So a lot of things to digest there.
No, that's a good question. So I don't – so I just feel – I feel safer with Baker based off of the years of production from what you've seen.
Okay.
If you told me – and I said this about the draft class last year. I said if you told me any of those three guys that went in the first round would go on to have the best NFL career, I wouldn't be that surprised, depending on situation and fit and where they land and all that stuff, whether it was Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky, or Patrick Mahomes. I'm kind of going to cop out and say the same thing because Darnold, his top-end play is just outstanding. I have some serious concerns at the bottom-end play that he showed this year as well. But his top-end play and what he did as a redshirt freshman was incredible. Rosen, I think, does have that top-end potential. So Baker just seems like he's a little bit cleaner across the board. I wouldn't be that surprised if Darnold was the best in the class. I think he's still a step ahead of Rosen. And a guy like Josh Allen, he's just in a completely different league because the top-end plays that he has are as special as it gets. You're like, man, this guy looks like Aaron Rodgers. But the same quote that I used for Kaiser last year was he makes the easy stuff look difficult and the difficult stuff look easy. So, you know, Allen makes the special plays, but, man, he makes some of the easy stuff, you know, hitting a shallow cross, hitting a swing route, and overthrowing guys by 10 yards. He makes some of those easy throws look really difficult sometimes. That really scares me when it comes to Josh Allen, and that's the type of guy that scouts are just going to salivate over because he's got the arm and all of the incredible athleticism, and he's this perfectly sculpted quarterback, but he doesn't play the position as well as the other guys. So, a lot to digest with my answer as well, but there's a lot of different ways to go and still a lot of question marks with these guys.
Steve Palazzolo joining us from Pro Football Focus. You mentioned Kaiser. You had him compared to Josh Allen, you just said. So if you're the Browns and you have that kind of a quarterback on the team right now, and you have 1-4 and you have cap space galore, and you have three quarterbacks on the team right now who have never won a game in the NFL, what are you doing? What are you putting together this offseason, knowing that you have Kaiser and, as you said, can make the easy throws look difficult and the difficult throws look easy?
Yeah, I mean, the way I said this on the day that the Browns drafted Kaiser, I thought it was a perfect, a good pick, a good high low risk, high upside type of pick. It was their fourth selection in the draft, even though he was a second rounder. And even with my scouting report that said, you know, his top end is good, his bottom end, though, is bad, you know, he was worth the risk and he's still young. And I also said, when you make that pick, it does not take you out of the quarterback market a year from now. So here we are. A year from now, certainly the Browns very much in the quarterback market. Now, even if Kaiser looks great this year, I still think you keep adding quarterbacks and seeing what you have. So I think you add in a guy at one. I'm actually fascinated by the people that say draft a quarterback at 1-4. I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world, as crazy as it does sound, and you just throw them all in. I mean, if you've got Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, both guys on the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, high upside type of guy versus Baker, who just plays the game so well, and you just let them compete and see what happens. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for a Browns team that obviously has needed a quarterback for 20 years. So I'd be fascinated by that whole process, but, you know, Kaiser certainly didn't do enough to keep me away from drafting quarterbacks. He also didn't do enough for me to completely give up on him either. So you just keep him in the mix and you let guys compete. And there's something to your franchise quarterback has to come to the top and handle competition and handle controversy and handle all of that stuff. And hopefully you find your guy. But I think the Browns have so much draft capital. I wouldn't mind a little bit of creativity trying to find your quarterback because it is obviously so crucial for them to get out of their funk that they've been in these last few years.
Steve, who do you think is the best player in the draft, not based on the team?
Yeah, so I'm between a couple guys. I mean, Baker's up there just from a pure production standpoint, but I have to say Maurice Hurst, interior defensive lineman from Michigan, I don't think anybody besides maybe us at PFF really have him as this lock top five, top 10 type of guy. But he's your classic undersized defensive tackle that always drops a little bit in the draft, sometimes a lot in the draft, but he's going to go to the NFL and he's going to be great. Just like an Aaron Donald, just like a Grady Jarrett, just like a Geno Atkins, those undersized defensive tackles that are disruptive. He's been off the charts for us from a production standpoint. The other guy I really want to point to is Derwin James from Florida State. He's been our top graded safety, both as a true freshman in 2015 and then this past year as a junior. And he's just 6'3", 215, perfectly chiseled safety, like everything you'd want in a safety, just like Josh Allen is a quarterback. And I think he just can be a complete difference maker if you play him in coverage or where you play him in coverage at the next level, whether it's covering tight ends, covering slot receivers, pass rushing off the edge. He can do it all. So I think Derwin James has a chance to be that very special defensive chess piece to offset what offenses are doing as they move around their special tight ends and slot receivers. I think James has a chance to kind of offset what offenses are doing.
Steve Palazzolo joining us, Pro Football Focus. Is this running back class deep enough that teams shouldn't take Saquon Barkley really high?
Yeah, I think it is. I'm more and more in favor. I mean, at PFF, we have a whole analytics team now really diving into the numbers and the value. And if people are following me during draft season, they're going to hear me say positional value over and over and over again. And it's simply because the numbers just show that running the ball is not nearly as valuable as passing the ball. So when you're investing in a running back, he had better be a dominant player in the pass game. And I do believe that Saquon Barkley can be that. So I'm not trying to downplay his skills at all. I mean, he could be one of the top two or three players in the draft, but from a value standpoint, he might be closer to 20 or 25. And that's a big concern when you talk about picking in the top 10. So I would say the drop-off from running back to running back generally in the NFL is fairly small. It's not nearly as wide as other positions, especially pass game-oriented positions. So, yeah, I think I'd be very wary about taking any running back in the top 10, even a guy as special as Saquon.
Steve, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll be checking back with you before the draft.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, guys.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, and you can go read Steve's work. He's a terrific breakdown on Josh Rosen and other players as well. It's profootballfocus.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.